I just want to look at a familiar story, which is why I didn't give Phyllis anything to stick up there, because it's in 1 Samuel 17, and it's from verse 1 to verse 58. So you can see why I wasn't mad keen on reading all that, because we still be here at 2 o'clock. It's the story of David and Goliath. I suppose the title is, What Are Your Giants? It's pretty obvious what the giant was in this, that story. But what are yours? And we'll come to that later. Let me just give you a wee bit of background. If you read that story, in verse 9, it talks about one army being in one hill, one army being in another hill, and there's a valley in between. Now, in those days, the war was really quite civilized. They sort of waited for each other to get sorted out, and then they hacked lumps out of each other. It was all very, very formal. Whereas today, you just press a button, and that'd be it. Be finished. But in verse 8 of that story, you've got this guy, Goliath, who was a Philistine champion, who came out and challenged Israel. Now, he did that twice a day for 40 days. Now, in the Bible, when it says 40 days, quite often it means a long time. It doesn't mean a lot of 40 days, but even though it was literally 40 days, that's 80 times he stood in the valley and went to Israel. You can just see him standing there with he's about a big guy, and he's pointing his finger and saying, right, come on, fight. Come on. Somebody, fight me. Now, if somebody did that to you, what would you do? What Israel did was they just sort of froze and did nothing. They quaked in their boots and they thought, not fighting him. He's too big for me. We'll let somebody else do it. Trouble was that nobody else volunteered to do it. So you've got this guy who's standing there shooting abuse at them for 80 times, 40 days. That's over a month. And no one responded until David appeared. And David happened to be there when Goliath appeared, and he's given it big licks, and he's given it his usual speech. And David says, who does this guy think he is? Now that's my translation of verse 26. I'm pretty certain that in your version it doesn't say, who does this guy think he is? But that's basically what David said. And his brothers got in his case. He said, you're only here to say about blood. I have absolutely no idea what happened there. But something happened. And at that point, David said, right, if nobody else is going to do it, I'll fight him. Now, I don't know what height, the story doesn't tell us what height David was, but I'm pretty sure he wasn't a huge guy. And he certainly wasn't as big as Goliath. And in verse 31, we read that Saul sent for him. Now, in those days, when the king sent for you, it wasn't like, would you mind if you're not too busy? Because if you didn't show up, you'd probably end up with your head in your hands. When Saul sent for him, basically that meant he summoned him. He said, come and speak to me. And you got all this rigmarole with David trying the armour. And, if he was 6 foot to start with, by the time he got the armour on, he was 5 foot. And Goliath standing there, and I thought, no, that's not going to work. So David threw all that armour away and went off to fight Saul. Now, my first question when I read that story was, what was Saul's giant? Because it should have been Saul out there. He was the king. He should have been him out there fighting Goliath. He was head of Israel. But it was, Saul obviously took one look at Goliath and thought, no chance. Not a hope. I'm not going out there because I'll come back in bits. Literally, I'll come back in bits. So what was Saul's giant? maybe it was certainly fear, and lack, but I think it was also lack of faith. The God who had made him king was much bigger than Goliath. But Saul thought, all Saul could see was Goliath. He could see this big guy. He didn't trust God to help him. He thought, there's no way I'm going to beat this guy. Now, let me just take a quick look at Goliath. Scripture tells us he was 9'9". He's a bit of a weirdo. Now, an average door, like those doors over there, would be about 6'6", 2 meters. Goliath was 3. So if you add on 50%, you're getting up towards the ceiling over there. That's how big Goliath was. Would you fight him? In verse 5, it says his armour weighed 125 pounds. That's almost 9 stone. He was carrying 9 stone about when he put his armour on. I just can't get my head around that. You know, if somebody gave me 9 stone to carry about, I'd struggle. But Goliath put armour on that weighed 9 stone, and the metal tip on his spear weighed almost a stone. Right, okay, fine. It says in scripture the shaft of his spear is like a weaver's loom. Now, have you ever seen a loom? It's like a 4x2. It's huge. Now, how on earth he's meant to throw that? Would you be able to throw something that big with a stone at the end? I mean, that was his spear. His sword was, well, I'm pretty certain that most of us couldn't even lift his sword. And yet David went off to fight him. Now, I suppose the point of all of that is that for us, some of our giants look awfully big. We think they're big. But I don't care what your giant is. I know that God's bigger than that. In terms of location, it says the valley was the valley of Elah, which is on the western edge of Israel, right where it butts against Philistine. You know, Gath was right on the edge of Philistine country. So when it says in verse 52 that after David had killed Goliath, they pursued him all the way to the gates of Gath, it wasn't really that far, to be honest. Gath was a few miles down the road. It wasn't like 300 miles away. But anyway, back to the story. You know, Goliath's standing there. He's saying, right, come on, fight me. And he sees this wee guy coming towards him. And he thinks, what is that? He's not even armed. But the truth is, David was armed. Goliath was looking for a sword or a spear, or a shield or whatever. But David had a sling and 5 stones, and that was his weapon. I suppose the big difference for David was that he had God on his side. And Goliath had size. But that's all they had. At that point, I had another question in my head. You know, why 5 stones? Why did he go to the brook and pick up 5? Why did God tell him to pick up 5? Because God knew that the first stone was going to do the business. So why has he got 5? I'm not clever enough to know the answer to that. Some commentators think it's because Goliath had 4 brothers. If you want to check it out, read 2 Samuel 21. And he thought, well, they, in their heads, think if David kills Goliath, his brothers will come and get him. Because his brothers weren't much weirder than he was. But some commentators are much more spiritual. Don't just love them. They gave these 5 stones names. And they gave them names of things that David had anyway. The Spirit of God. When David went to fight Goliath, he had the Spirit of God with him. And I think what we need to get our heads around is that the battle, whatever the battle is that you're engaged in, whatever your giant happens to be, it's not your fight. It's God's fight. The battle belongs to God. So often we spend most of our lives trying to fight things, and when in fact the guy behind us, God, is saying, either way, I'll do it. And you're saying, that's okay. Yeah, I'll fight this guy. When in fact, the best thing we can do is say, right, God, fight. Help. So you had the Spirit of God. The outcome was never in doubt. When David went off to fight Goliath, there was only ever going to be one winner. David knew that. God knew that. Unfortunately for Goliath, he didn't know that. And what we know and what we do doesn't really matter, other than obeying what God tells us to do. You know, the fight's God's. It really doesn't matter what you think or what you say or what you do or what you don't do. God will work it out. And so David wandered off to fight Goliath with the Spirit of God. He also went with this past experience of what God had done for him. Further on, when he was talking to Saul, he said, I was attacked by a lion and a bear. It's in verse 34 to 37, if you're interested. And God helped to kill him. And for us, I think we need to remember back to what God has already done for us and rely on that and say, well, if God can do that, then he can fight this giant as well. The third thing was the Word of God. And David had memorized that. You know, all the scriptures, all the time he spent watching over sheep, time after time after time, he was reading the scriptures and memorizing the scriptures, and he knew them back to front. And that's where, up here, he knew that God was going to win. He didn't have any doubt whatsoever, because he knew that his God had told him he'd look after him. I wonder if I quoted you a reference, if you could tell me what the verse was. I'm pretty sure if you did the same to me, I wouldn't be able to. But David probably could have. And what that says to me is that what we need to do is continually get to grips and read God's word, so that the promises that are in there, we know what they are. We know what God's capable of. We don't have to have a second thought about, will this work, won't it work? Of course it'll work. This is God we're talking about. This is not just somebody that we've found on the internet or dreamt up. The fourth thing he went with was a vision of something big. David knew just how big his God was. I know that Goliath was the height of that ceiling, but in David's eyes, he's thinking, yeah, but my God's bigger than that. If Goliath's that height, God's much, much bigger than anything. The only limit to what we think God can do is that God doesn't have a limit on his ability to do things, except what we the limitations that we put on it. You think, nah, God won't do that. Either because I'm not good enough, or it's kind of tricky, that one. So, yeah, I'll give you a shout when it's simplified itself. God's not interested in simplifying things. God just sees it and says, I'll fix it. Do we believe that? Or don't we? We either do or we don't. David went with a heart full of faith. That's the fifth thing. He knew with a certainty that when he went out to fight Goliath, there was two of them going to fight Goliath. It was him and God. I mean, the story is full of a lack of faith. Saul had a lack of faith. The army had a lack of faith. And in fact, the army were terrified. David's brothers had a lack of faith. They were part of the army. They were also who he had gone to see, in theory. But David had so much faith that what God had done for him in the past and what God was going to do when he asked him, it didn't really matter how big or how tall Goliath was or how heavy his armor was or how big his spear was. It didn't matter one bit. So that's the story of David Goliath in the background. Let me just go back to the title, What Are Your Giants? What are the things that we struggle with that stop us from reaching the potential that we've got in God? Now, for each of us, that'll be a different thing. For each of us, it'll be something that nobody else has. Or that if somebody else has got it, they haven't got it as big or as bad as we have. There's no way. And these issues may not be huge in the great scheme of things, but to us they are. They're huge, they're big giants. And how on earth are we going to get past that? I want to give you some examples. Maybe it's selfishness or anger or addiction or apathy or laziness or an aversion to commitment. Whatever your giant happens to be, that list could go on and on and on and on. But it doesn't really matter how long the list is. Although they're all different, and they all affect us in different ways, whatever they happen to be, God is bigger than them. It doesn't really matter what you think your giant's going to be. Or maybe you've got more than one. Maybe you're greedy like that. You know, you want two or three. God is bigger. It doesn't matter what your giant is. God's going to be the answer. So how do we beat them? $64,000 question. I wish I knew. Let me give you some suggestions. Don't tolerate it to the giant. When David heard Goliath the first time slag off Israel and say, right, come on, I know you're pathetic and you're weak and you can't beat me, but come and try anyway. And David's reaction was, who does he think he is? This is the army of God he's talking to. This is the army of Israel. Don't tolerate him. Don't just... Whatever your giant happens to be, you say, right, get out of the way. I'm not putting up with this any longer. I won't tolerate it. The second thing is don't tolerate opponents. Just ignore them. That's what David did in the story. I mean, he had his brothers, he had the army, he had Saul. Saul, they were all saying to him, don't do it. It's not a good idea. And David just completely ignored them and said, yeah, but God's told me to go and fight this guy. So why wouldn't I? And Satan will always use other people. People that maybe we would trust with our lives and that we would listen to, because what they usually say would be good and right. Satan will use them to try and divert us and distract us and stop us from doing what we should be doing. The third thing is to remember the experiences we've had with God. That's what David did. He looked back in his life and could see that God had dug him out of a hole, literally. He was in a pit with a bear. And David came out, the bear didn't. Because God was with him. And I suppose the fourth thing is to focus on God and not the giant. Because the minute you start to do that, the giant will shrink. The minute you place your focus on God and not on the problem's going to shrink. If you think back to when Moses sent 12 spies into Canaan, 10 of them came back and they were so focused on the giants in the land. There were only two who weren't, who saw the opportunity. But 10 of them could only see the giants and how big they were. And you say, well, there's no way we're going to do this. And Joshua and Caleb were the only two who said, we should go and do it. Because God's told us. He's given it to us. And because Israel didn't listen, a whole generation got lost in the desert. And if we don't listen and focus on what God's saying to us, the danger for us is that we miss the opportunity and we end up in a desert somewhere. And it can take us forever to get out of it. There are lots of verses. I just noted in three here that give us encouragement that when we do that, when we focus on God and not on the giant, when we allow God to be the center of the problem, it's going to work out. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. It doesn't say I can do some things or most things or the ones that are maybe not too difficult. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Isaiah 40, which I think John referred to earlier in the elders' prayer time, says, but those who hope in the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with and soar like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary, walk and not grow faint. That's the God that we're asked to focus on. We're not asked to hope for the best and see what happens. What Scripture tells us is that when we allow our focus to be God and not the problem, there's only ever going to be one winner. So what are your giants? What are my giants? We looked at a list earlier that included anger and laziness and addiction, etc., etc. The good news is it doesn't really matter what your giant is. God is bigger than it, and God's going to fix it if you let him. I have absolutely no idea why I'm there. There's a but. We need to play our part. And we need to act and do what God has said that we should do. Success against any of these giants is not automatic. And it's not guaranteed unless we trust what God says to us and obey what he says to us. We're back to trust and obey. I suppose the question for all of us this morning is, are we willing to do that or not? Let's pray. Father, thank you. There's nothing that can come against us that's bigger or stronger than you are. There's nothing that we face day to day, week to week, that you can't overcome and turn to your advantage. Help us to not just recognize that, but allow that to permeate into all of our lives, so that we see the giants for what they are. To you, they're pimples. They're just undulations and things to be stamped on and overcome. Help us to be people who respond to you and not react to circumstances. Help us to be those who trust you and obey you and walk in the way that you've called us to walk, because we are sat in Jesus' name.